So now we have two kingdoms in the land of Israel, the northern kingdom headquartered in Samaria called Israel, and then the southern kingdom is Judah, and their headquarters is Jerusalem. And those two kingdoms continue to deteriorate. So God brings the northern kingdom into discipline, as the covenant said He would. They are scattered by the Assyrians. Remember He said, I'm going to bring a foreign power against you. They're scattered by the Assyrians in 722. And then God, the southern kingdom didn't do much better. They actually got worse. They survived about 150 years longer than the northern kingdom. 136 years, really, to be exact. And God brought the Babylonians to take the southern kingdom into captivity for 70 years. Now, at this point, the key thing to keep your eye on is that southern kingdom, because all of the Davidic kings are coming through the southern kingdom. And there's a promise that God gave to David, as we mentioned earlier, called the Davidic covenant, that through David's line, the forever throne or the kingdom is going to be established on planet Earth. And thus begins the 70-year captivity, where Israel is exported 350 miles to the east to a place called Babylon, and there they were in discipline for 70 years. And it's at this time God raises up the prophets Ezekiel and Daniel to give prophecies about the future of the nation from this vantage point. Let's go now to Daniel 2. This takes us to our fifth area. We're now about 586 BC. Just as the captivity is starting. And this is a time period that we call the times of the Gentiles. Times of the Gentiles is a period of time when Israel has no king reigning on David's throne. Judah, rather, has no king reigning on David's throne. The last Davidic king prior to the deportation was Zedekiah. Once he was removed from the throne, the times of the Gentiles begin. It's at this time the Shekinah glory of God departs from the temple. And the office of theocratic administrator, which had been functioning over the nation from the time of Moses up till about 586, disappears at this point in time. And that's, I believe, the significance of the Shekinah glory of God departing. And so God raises up Daniel to explain what's going to happen in this time period when the nation has no reigning king. So he explains it in terms of four empires are going to trample down Israel. Each body part of the statue that Daniel saw represents a different kingdom that's going to trample down Israel during the times of the Gentiles when there is no reigning king on David's throne. So the head of gold is Babylon, which trampled down the nation from about 605 to 539. The chest and arms of silver is Medo-Persia, which trampled Israel down from about Judah down from about 539 to 331. Belly and thighs of brass would represent Greece, which trampled the nation down from about 331 to 63. And then the two legs of iron represent Rome, which trampled the nation of Israel down from about 63 BC to AD 70. The toes represent sort of the kingdom of the Antichrist that has never been in existence yet. And then the stone cut without human hands strikes the feet of the statue. The whole statue crumbles, and this stone cut without human hands grows and grows and grows till it fills the whole earth. So what that is saying is this: the stone cut without human hands is the kingdom, God's kingdom, that He wants to bring to the earth. And that's not going to come to the earth until the times of the Gentiles, including the final empire of the Antichrist, the ten toes, has run its course. Now that's a big deal, what I just said. Because what Daniel is saying is, do not expect the kingdom to materialize until the times of the Gentiles are over. And you see, we are still in the times of the Gentiles even as I speak. Israel has been regathered, but she's in unbelief. Certainly she has no king reigning on David's throne. And the times of the Gentiles are not going to end until Israel passes through the tribulation period and is converted. Then the stone cut without human hands will crush the empire of the Antichrist, and then the kingdom will come. So people that say we're in the kingdom now are not paying really any attention at all to this basic chronology laid out by Daniel. Daniel 7, if you look at that for just a moment, Daniel saw the exact same period of time, but he didn't see it as a beautiful statue, the way Nebuchadnezzar's dream viewed it. He saw it as four disgusting beasts. So the statue and its beauty is the Gentile perspective. It's a happy time. We're on top. The four beasts that correlate with the different body parts of the statue is a unhappy time. That's the Jewish perspective. So Daniel 2 and 7 are describing the same period of time, but from slightly different vantage points. One a Gentile perspective, one a Jewish perspective. So, beginning with the times of the Gentiles, the Shekinah glory of God departs from the temple. This is sort of a layout of the book of Ezekiel, which is very symmetrical. The Shekinah glory of God leaves the temple as the times of the Gentiles start, but once the kingdom materializes, the Shekinah glory of God, as we'll be seeing, returns to the temple. So do not expect the kingdom to come until the times of the Gentiles run their course. Merrill Unger says this, "How futile for conservative scholars to ignore that fact and to seek to find a literal fulfillment of these kingdom prophecies in history or in the church when these predictions refer to events yet future and have no application whatsoever to the church." Let's go over to Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. This takes us to number 6. And it's at this time that God begins to raise up prophets. He's been speaking through prophets already, but he's doing it more and more, and he's raising up prophets to explain what the kingdom is going to be like one day. How do these prophets function? Peter tells us that they are light shining in a dark place. So Israel is in a dark place. She's in the times of the Gentiles. But oh, don't lose heart, Israel. The kingdom will come one day. And here's a picture of what it's going to be like. You know, if you were to read today Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, you would have a tremendous description of the kingdom. It's a time period when Jerusalem will be the center of world and political authority. It's a time of perfect justice, world peace, peace in the animal kingdom, economic freedom, where people's lifespans will be like that of a tree. And if someone dies at the age of 100, people will sit around and say, "Wow, isn't that sad, such a young man died?" It's a time where you'll pray and God immediately answers. It's a time where the knowledge of the Lord fills the earth. It's a great description here of the kingdom. The kingdom is established by God. It will be eternal. It will be the direct rule of Jesus Christ over this earth. It's when the land promises will be realized. Israel will be preeminent again. She will be the head and not the tail. The millennial temple will be rebuilt. David will be functioning as sort of a co-regency form of government, reigning over the nation as David is underneath Israel. I have all the scriptures there that show all these things. It'll be the time of righteousness. The curse will be curtailed to a large extent, not eliminated yet. There'll be peace amongst the nations, tremendous prosperity, and topography will change. So this is the hope of the coming kingdom. Thomas Ice, who you've had, and Mark Hitchcock, who you've had here as speakers, say every Old Testament prophet except Jonah speaks of a permanent return of the land to the land of Israel by the Jews. Do you believe that this is going to happen? I do, and here's why I believe it's going to happen. Every time God has told the Jews they're going to go back into the land, guess what? They went back into the land. God made that promise all the way back in Genesis 15, it says you're going to go into Egypt and you're going to come back right into this land. And guess what? Under Joshua, they came right back into the land. And then at the time of the deportation through Jeremiah, God says, you're going to go into deportation, but you're going to come back into this land And we know from the book of Ezra and Nehemiah that's exactly what happened. And now God, through Ezekiel, is saying it's going to happen a third time. So if God has done it twice already, it's not too hard to believe He'll do it the third time, right?